name's Marissa. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be sober. I'm grateful to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and with the Al-Anon participation. I'm grateful I found my way to the rooms of Al-Anon too, by the way. I have more friends in my life because of that. I'd like to welcome all of our newcomers. You are in for the ride of your life, and if you don't believe me, just hang on and stick around. Probably have no idea what you're doing here. I know I didn't. I'd like to welcome our visitors from out of town. Thank you for participating in our convention. And I'd like to so graciously, gratefully thank Don, the Board of Miracles Happen, everyone for inviting me to speak to you guys today. It is an overwhelming privilege, and I am so grateful. A chance to participate, tell you my story. Most of you I've grown up with. You've seen me come into the rooms. Well, some of the people that have been around have saw me come into the rooms. Well, let me back up. The woman you see before you today in Alcoholics Anonymous is not the woman I came into these rooms as. As a matter of fact, I wasn't a woman. Hey! Excuse me while I disrobe. I'm a little bit warm. So you can change anything you want in Alcoholics Anonymous. But it's true. I couldn't do diddly squat out there. And when I first got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in January of 1988 by my good friend Ann B., she told me her story. She took me out to dinner. She took me to several meetings. I listened to you guys. I laughed. I took the 20 questions. I got 17 right. And I was really glad they had some place like this for people like you. And I told you that. Anyway, that was then, and now my sobriety date now is January 20th, 2001. I have 10 years, 3 months, and 10 days, and one day at a time. And I think that turned out to be something like 3,750 days, if I'm not mistaken. But I try to keep track, because it's one day at a time. It's one moment at a time. We were listening to the steps, and my sobriety date, I've had other sobriety dates, but this is the one that I've chosen on a daily basis, an hourly basis, a minutely basis, a breath basis to keep, because I know where I came from, and I hope you guys remember where you came from. On January 20th this year, actually, that was my first day sober. On January 7th or 8th, I'm not really sure, the bar I was cocktailing and bartending at closed for a few days to do a cleaning and renovation. Now, I've been sober before. My first sobriety was October 16th, 1990. I found my way here then because a suicide attempt. That's right. College Hospital, Costa Mesa, and they tried to get me into a detox program. I talked my way into the psych ward. Because if you have problems like me, you obviously would have to drink, use drugs, and abuse anything you possibly can. I grew up in the Midwest in Terre Haute, Indiana. And when I grew up back in the 60s and 70s, until the mid-late 60s, it was also the home of the Grand Dragon of the KKK. So I grew up with a lot of keep everything a secret, but I also grew up with a lot of alcohol around, and didn't know it was a problem. And I'm probably jumping all around, and I apologize for that. I didn't know I was an alcoholic when I first got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I finally got here in 1990, I thought, well, okay, I got a problem with alcohol, and I don't want what I got. Maybe I can do this, but I can still manage my own life. Thank you very much. And I actually stayed sober 4.5 years on a half-page fourth step and a resentment. I did find some really, really good people. I was able to begin to change my transition from Mark to Marissa, and without Alcoholics Anonymous, I seriously would have been dead. And you guys provided me a place when I walked into the Friday night meeting, and I had on a short skirt and cute little top and makeup for the first time, and said, "My name is Marissa, I'm alcoholic, and I've got something to tell you." And they just said, "Duh." And just wrapped their arms around me and said, "Come on, just you're part of us, whoever you are." And Alcoholics Anonymous has always done that. You know, I didn't know I was alcoholic. And I mean, looking back, I didn't think I started drinking till I was like in high school, like junior or senior year. Looking back this time, I finally was doing a history of my drinking. By the time I was 7 or 8 years old, I knew how to make my dad's scotch and water, my granddad's bourbon and seven, and my grandmother's Manhattan. Now, at 7, 8 years old, a person that knows how to do that, because they know how they're supposed to taste, might be a budding alcoholic. I was. And then, you know, for me, part of my story is alcohol left the house when my parents divorced. So, and then we found the church, and so I tried that for a while. And I hit puberty. And I went from being a straight-A student to practically flunking out. I was just devastated. My body was betraying me, and what, you know. And I began finding out that there was other options, but I didn't know how to go about doing anything about it. And I tell you that because when I got sober this time, I have to tell you my getting sober story. After having been sober, I finally made the decision in August of 2000 to turn my life and my will over to the bag and the bottle because I just couldn't stop. I'd been trying to stop for the last 2.5 years. And, you know, I didn't come down or I didn't draw a sober breath from August until January 15th because I constantly had something in my system. I did a shot in a line to go to bed. I did a shot in a line to go to the bathroom. I did a shot in a line to take a shower. I did a shot in a line to make breakfast. That was just what I did. And I was always nicer to people when I had my stuff, too. At the end of this, so I'd been, in 1999, I got the privilege of visiting Orange County Jail on July 1st and July 30th because I got DUI twice. The first one was only a .7, and I was like, how dare they pick me up, you know? And when I went to court, they were like, well, we're not filing charges because it's a .07, and, you know, you don't have a record right now. Yay, yahoo! The day I walked out of there, I went to work, and I got picked up that night and blew a .11. Guess who got to spend another night in jail? This was a very terrible experience because... ladies, you may know this if you've ever been there. If you don't, what they do when they're checking you in, they also do what's known as a pad check. And they discovered that there was something between my legs. And so they took me to the infirmary and made me strip to show them what was really there. Anyway, after that, I had this DUI school I had to go to. So, and I kept trying to get sober, and I'd get 30, 60, 90 days, and I'd drink 30. I'd walk out of a meeting, and I'd go get drunk. Finally, I gave up. I couldn't not stay sober. I couldn't stay sober. Couldn't not drink. Wow, this is such a privilege. I met a guy at that bar, Jim. Jim took a liking to me. Jim was a big, strong construction worker guy. Jim was Al-Anon. His uncle owned a gay bar in Hollywood. And he started talking to me. And he befriended me. And reawakened that thing in me that maybe I might want to try again. So when the bar closed, I was going to go home, detox myself, and I was going to go back to meetings, and I was going back to my DUI school, blah, 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 blah. On my way home, I picked up another bag and another bottle. And I don't know what happened from January 7th or 8th to January 15th. I haven't a clue, except on January 15th, there was no more drugs, alcohol. There was no more food in the house, and I probably hadn't taken a shower or cleaned up in those 7 or 8 days. And I hadn't completed electrolysis, and I probably had been, okay, so I come to, and I'm shaking, and I'm nervous, and I'm hot, I don't know what to do. So my idea is, I call and order a pizza to be delivered, because I had $20 left in my pocket, and more in the bank. And I thought I'd get some food to get some strength, so I could get cleaned up, so I could get to the bank, so I'd get some money, so I'd get some more booze, so I'd get to my connection. And at 11:30 in the morning, on January 15th, Kelly from Boston, 10 years sober, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous was delivering my pizza. And I stood at the door. I stood at a turning point. I did not know if I should open that door or not. I was terrified. finally hunger won out, I opened the door, and she started to proceed to just take care of business. And she was very kind and gracious and treated me like a human being, even though I had 7 days' worth of growth. I hadn't complete electrolysis. I had makeup that had been on the whole time. I probably smelled like, oh, my God, a brewery, and I probably had, anyway. And she just took care of business, treated me very kindly, and she started to walk away, and a light bulb went off. And I had a moment of clarity, and I said, stop, wait. I know you. I think I need help. And I say that because, you know what? How many of us have not wanted to ask for help? I still struggle with asking for help. And that was the first time, sincerely, I'd asked for help. And you know what? She sat down and she talked to me. She gave me her number. And she told me about a dear friend of mine, Bambi, who had just turned 10 years in December, who had just taken her life. Who was transgender like me. And I said, yeah, that's what we do. Because that's where I was at. That's where I... Christmas Day, I tried to kill myself. Well, I planned to. Except I lost the bottle in the bag, and I came completely down. And then when I finally found it, I got so drunk and so high, I passed out on my floor, and I came to 2 days later, and I forgot what my plan was, how to kill myself. And I went to work. And I'm grateful today that that happened, because... You know, I've done so much. I mean, I can't believe the things that I've been able to have in my surgery. I've been able to work with numerous women in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been able to travel to England with my ex-girlfriend to be in her best friend's wedding. I've been able to go to St. Croix with her and another friend of hers to honor a friend of ours that drank herself to death. I've been able to reestablish friendships to a degree with my family. And I honestly, that is, I used to tell them off and hang up on them. I changed my number so many times because I didn't want my mother to talk to me. You know, not because I was running from anybody. I was running from my mother. You know, I didn't want her to be able to get in touch with me. And in you guys have given me the grace and dignity to be able to walk through and be at my stepfather's funeral, sober, and to be able to honor his memory and be there for my mother and to be there for my family. Last summer, one of my younger brothers invited his sister to come to be in his wedding. And it was the first time he'd ever acknowledged that in all these years. You know, and that was such an honor and a privilege, you know, that I got to participate with my family as just another family member. And I wouldn't have been there if I weren't sober, you know. You can do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. Early in sobriety for me, I really still struggled with the higher power issue. Fortunately, my higher power saw fit to give me two, Superior Court Harbor and Superior Court South County. I learned about higher powers from them because what I learned from them is if I didn't do what they told me to do, I was going to go spend months in the men's prison. And that was just not quite okay. So I did all the things I was asked to do, 500 hours of community service in 3 months, attend all kinds of AA meetings. I was happy to do that. Finish up. I got to go back to my DUI school. I got to keep my car. You know, it didn't have license plates. I didn't have a driver's license, but they gave it back to me for a small pittance by comparison to what it should have been. Because what I did what my sponsor told me to do. I suited up. I showed up. I took the next right indicated action. If it was brush my teeth, if it was brush my hair, if it was put on my pantyhose, if it was walk out the door, I suit up and show up and did the next right indicated action. And I didn't believe that I could leave it up to my higher power. So what became for me was, it's none of my business. The results are none of my business. Just do the next right indicated action. The results are none of your business. And every time I did that, you know what happened? I walked up to that judge in South County, and he looked at me because I was showing up because I had a failure to appear on a driving without a license and all the other stuff going on. And I showed up, and I just told him the truth about what was going on, who I was, what blah, 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 blah. And he just looked at me and was like, I'm going to do something I've never done, but I see something in you, some honesty, some candor, something different than I usually see in people. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a change. You've got excellent. I'm going to give you community service for 300 hours from that court, and you've got this many months to do it. And please sit down and see the bailiff. I didn't have to go to jail because I showed up sober. You know, I didn't have to ever do anything alone. I had to do it. Okay, I've always had to do it. Nobody's ever done it for me. My sponsor also taught me that my higher power will do for me what I can't do for myself, but my higher power is not codependent and won't do for me what I can. So if I don't show up, it's not available to me. I've got to be present. And today the gift is I'm mostly present, you know? And you guys have taught me how to do that. You guys have allowed me to be a part of you, and just whether I've come in looking good or whether I've been, however I felt or acted, and, you know, I'm going through some things right now, and I couldn't go through it. I'm dealing with some very serious, very painful arthritis. Sometimes I can't walk, so fibromyalgia, and it's been just insane for the last few months, and I haven't told people about this. So last night I led the marathon meeting on reaching out, and I'm telling you guys about it. And you know what? I wouldn't do this sober. I'd say, fuck it, and I'd be drunk, and I'd be in the streets, and I probably would be dead. Sober, I don't know if I can do everything or anything, but I know that I don't have to do it alone, whatever it is, you know? And that's such a huge gift, you know? I found out I couldn't manage my own life and that I could trust help other people to help me manage it. I found out that I gradually came to believe and trust. But I have faith today. Faith means I act as if, even though I can't see what the results are. Okay, on a daily basis, I make a choice to accept that help and to walk through what I'm asked to walk through. I've made 4 steps, amends. Many of my amends I was forced to make in the beginning. It was just like they just can't. You know, people talk about having baggage. I had a full 6-mile trainload of baggage coming in, and it took a while for me with the caboose to come in. So if sometimes it seems like it just keeps coming in and coming in, mine took about 9 months to a year before I felt like it was finally not coming anymore. Then I could, you know, and then I've gotten the gift of learning that I can make mistakes sober and not drink over them. Steal money from an employer and make amends and get fired and not drink over it. You know, just a lot of things that, you know, I'm still human, I'm still imperfect, but I'm just grateful that I have steps, solution to every problem sober. You know, I remember some of the things Mickey Bush said, and I'm grateful that I've gotten to hear some of these speakers, and I have all these little things like alcoholic, a life centered on helping others lives in complete serenity. You know, and if you want to know what the secret is to happiness, I am the most peaceful and happy when I'm busy taking care of you rather than when I'm busy taking care of me. Because when I'm busy taking care of me, my world gets really, really small and miserable, and it's all problems. And from the very beginning, my sponsor had me 90 days sober. I ended up being homeless. This is how I got introduced to being of service. I called up my sponsor, and I didn't know what to do, and she suggested that I go to the Tuesday night women's meeting and help set up chairs and make coffee because there were people that were going to be missing that night, and they needed help and share about it. You know what? I never slept in my car. Alcoholics Anonymous took care of me for the next 3 months till I got a job, homeless. I didn't ever sleep in my car, and I suited up and shut up. And then another meeting decided to make me treasure when I'm homeless and I don't have a job. And they, and I didn't steal from them this time. So I don't know how much time I have, if I'm getting close or not. But, you know, so I began being put to service and community service. And then my next sponsor got me involved with Ashland, and I was there 6 days a week and giving rides and sponsoring girls and helping with garage sales. And I was... When something had dawned on me, I was about 1.5-2 years sober. Every time I was busy being of service to you, I was just enough out of the way where my higher power could step in and provide the solution that I was looking for. Miracles Happen did something amazing for me. I shared this Thursday night, and I didn't realize it until I was sitting there in that meeting. Being a part of Miracles Happen in 2004, doing the play, something amazing happened. I got so comfortable with me that for the first time in my life, I knew that no matter what happened to me, no matter if I was able to move on and have my surgery, whether I was not ever going to, whether I ended up walking around with a baseball cap and no hairpiece, I was going to be quite okay. I got really comfortable with myself. And then once I got comfortable with myself and stopped worrying about it, 1.5 years later, I had my surgery. I got involved in being of service because of Alcoholics Anonymous at another meeting. I met somebody who introduced me. Her sister gave me some work to do for a year and a half and paid for it. But it was because I was here being a part of it. I can't explain how it works. I just know it works. And along the way, I've changed. I've made amends to a lot of people. I have some amends to make, but I'm a works in progress, and I'm just... I used to say, it says sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, and I used to say it's like, for me, it's slower than molasses in Massachusetts in January, so... Anyway, it has been really an honor and a privilege. I love you guys. You guys have loved me to the level of sanity. I love the big book. There's so many neat things in there. You know what? It says something at the very beginning. We are 100 men and women who have recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I may still have mental problems and physical problems. I may still have those. But I am not a hopeless drunk anymore. I'm a hopeful drunk now. My name is Marissa. Thanks for letting me share. Yeah.